I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
As you pointed out, the Democrats were holding our country hostage to try to negotiate on a healthcare system that they created. Obamacare, as it's famously called, is a system the Democrats created. It is a broken system. It has driven up healthcare costs dramatically in this country. And now they shut the government down to try to fix that system they broke. It doesn't make any sense to us, which is why the president said that's a completely untenable position. However, once the government reopens, the president, as he's always maintained, is absolutely open to having conversations about healthcare. And I think you'll see the president putting forth some really good policy proposals the Democrats should take very seriously to fix, again, the system that they broke. You can't trust the same people who broke the system to fix it. And so the American people will continue to hear from the president on this issue.
Yeah, I mean, after all, they broke it. They did not fix it. We did. I want to remind you again, 17, am I off maybe one or two? Let's shy on the easy side. 13 different times, Senate Democrats refused to budge and accept a bill to end the shutdown. The same exact bill they could have passed and had passed previously. And as I told you in the commentary the other day, we are right where we could have been 3 to 4 weeks ago without this hassle. But they had to show that they know what's best for America, while at the same time mocking you and making fun of you, and of course Trump, and claiming that you're being cheated. And yet at the same time be crying, oh my God, the kids on SNAP are not getting their money. This is not happening. Air traffic control is a mess. That is on you, Democrats, and you know it. The American public is tired of this game. Do Republicans bear some blame? Yes. Specifically, Senator Rand Paul. I'm going to call him out. I like him, but in this case, he's wrong. He was among those voting against opening the government. Thank God we had some that said, we can't do this anymore. And not just for fear of re-election and the midterms coming up, but we got to get things moving again. And I told you the other day, without fail, I would have put money on it, and I want to collect my money right now. It will be resolved before Thanksgiving. Now, it could have been done 3-4 weeks ago. The same thing, exactly the same thing. But they held out. So now there's going to be a little chaos, issues around the airports and air traffic controllers. Did you see the other day that Trump said every air traffic controller that did not take off during this, that did their duty, he wants to give them a $10,000 bonus. Great. How will be done and when, I'm not sure. But I like the very idea. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. Here we are, November 13, 2025. And that was Carolyn Leavitt talking about how the left continued to hold us hostage. Crisis is averted. But now, of course, they're going to look for new attacks. That is going after Trump on the Epstein papers. Why the Epstein papers? What else they got? There's nothing left in the crapper. That's it. Bring that up again and see what we can do. And again, this has been hashed, flushed, recycled, and put back out on the same paper, and there's nothing changing. Nothing. So right now, as it's written by the Hill, let me show you the way they're pointing it out. this is perfect. The Hill is a leftist publication. Here's the lead line from The Hill. Senate Democrats are divided over whether Republicans have offered enough to reach a deal to end the government shutdown this week. Several centrist Democrats signaling to their Republican colleagues an agreement could be reached in the next few days. You can put all this stuff in past tense. They're mouthing, their lips are moving, nothing new is coming out. They're posturing. But other Senate Democrats warn that reopening the government without a real concession from Trump on extending the expiring health insurance premium subsidies, or at least a stronger gesture of good faith from the president, would be a big mistake. Democrats getting closer with Republicans on an agreement to put the regular appropriation process back on track. A strong Democratic primary, but the two sides have not made progress on rising health care costs, the biggest sticking point. Who's been the one about trying to control the cost? That would be the Republicans. The so-called Affordable Care Act has a $1.3 trillion package of money tied to it that will cost Americans. If you remember, when this was first presented by Obama administration, the Affordable Care Act, oh God, I had to choke to not get myself caught up on it. And I started calling it the Obamacare Act. And I had an anchor at a news station where I worked. And she was incensed. You're calling it the Obamacare Act because you're trying to make it look bad. You know what he did within a matter of days? Well, they're all calling it the Obamacare Act. I think that's a pretty good name. It's got my name on it. I'm all for it. Kind of blew up in her face. And it's still blowing up in their face. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. November 13, reminding you with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, education, and later, a warning from retired General Flynn, a warning that you need to take to heart. So now we have the left saying, what else can we do to destroy this man? Everything he's doing is moving forward. I mean, he got peace in the Middle East. He brought peace between Pakistan and India. He's doing everything right. Yes, he's targeting Venezuelan drug boats out of Venezuela and Colombia, so be it. And yes, we still have the Ukraine-Russia issue, but he's sawed more issues than what we had. We are as close to peace, worldwide peace, than we've been. And we're making better arrangements with China. I'm not so sure how that's going to play in the end, but at least we're not firing and rattling sabers at each other. But the Democrats, well, let's take a look at what they want to point to. They say, you know, a lot of this stuff going on with the Epstein file, you got to keep in mind some of these documents got leaked out. And in fact, with that, Carolyn Leavitt from the White House.
This administration also moved, the Department of Justice also moved to unseal grand jury testimony, which we know, unfortunately, a judge declined those requests. So this administration has done more than any. And it just shows how this is truly a manufactured hoax by the Democrat Party. For now, they're talking about it all of a sudden because President Trump is in the Oval Office. But when Joe Biden was sitting in there, the Democrats never brought this up. This wasn't an issue that they cared about because they actually don't care about the victims in these cases. They care about trying to score political points against President Trump, as we have, of course, seen with this government shutdown. And this entire thing, again, it's not a coincidence to the American people at home. There are no coincidences in Washington, D.C. And it is not a coincidence that the Democrats leaked these emails to the fake news this morning ahead of Republicans reopening the government.
And you know what? The Democrats reintroducing this hoax, trying to distract from their failure in the government shutdown and other issues where they're failing. Trump issued a response on Truth Social today, right after Carolyn Leavitt was pressing Democrat lawmakers. Why did you redact the name of Virginia Giuffre in one of these several Epstein mails you just released yesterday? She noted that Giuffre had worked at one time at Mar-a-Lago, had committed suicide, and stated that, quote, according to her, Trump could not have been friendlier to her in her recently released book, Nobody's Girl, a memoir of surviving abuse and fighting for justice. And they chose to redact it as if we cover her name up, it looks insidious and looks bad and nasty. And she's saying, why are you keeping her name out? You've already used it. You've used it over and over again. As Trump wrote, only a very bad or stupid Republican would fall into that trap. I have a word for you. There are a few bad and stupid Republicans falling into that trap and being sucked in by the vortex of idiot Democrats at the same time. But again, nothing wrong to see here.
Did the president ever spend hours at Jeffrey Epstein's house with a victim?
These emails prove absolutely nothing other than the fact that President Trump did nothing wrong. And what President Trump has always said is that he was from Palm Beach and so was Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was a member at Mar-a-Lago until President Trump kicked him out because Jeffrey Epstein was a pedophile and he was a creep. And this email you refer to with the name of a victim that was unredacted now and has since been reported on in this room, so I will go ahead and say it, Virginia Giuffre. And it was CBS's own reporting, Ouija, that recently wrote that Ms. Giuffre maintained, and God rest her soul, that she maintained that there was nothing inappropriate she ever witnessed, that President Trump was always extremely professional and friendly to her. And so I think it's a question worth asking the Democrat Party, and you should all go ask them after this briefing, of why they chose to redact that name of a victim who has already publicly made statements about her relationship with Jeffrey Epstein is unfortunately no longer with us.
Caroline, I have a question. In fact, I have a statement. I know why they did it, because it looks bad. It isn't bad, but if we redact her name and hold her name out, it looks like, yeah, you know, this person may not be trusted. She is the one who specifically said he never did anything wrong with her and she never saw anything that he did at any point. They don't like the truth. They don't like the truth. Well, who's afraid of the big bad teachers' unions? Democrats really are, but they don't want to act like it. And listen to the cries from Illinois Governor Pritzker.
Republicans want to take billions away from public schools and pump it into private institutions.
Yeah.
They want to punish teachers for telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They want to criminalize educators for supporting LGBTQ students.
Mm-hmm.
They want to turn classrooms into cultural war battlegrounds.
Mm.
And I'm sorry to be vulgar, but Donald Trump and his cronies can f*** all the way off.
Yeah. He is right as to what they want to do. They want to turn it into all of that stuff. J.B. Pritzker is not in favor, really, of public schools. You do know that. He went to Duke. And when it comes to his children, they didn't go to any public school. Are you kidding me? They didn't go to public school. And yet he wants your children to do it because that's where they'll learn about chromosomes that get all mixed up. With that in mind, I I want you to hear what happened to an Illinois teacher that dared drive right past ICE agents, right onto a school parking lot, and she knew she was in violation.
Another video goes viral, this time in Chicago, when a teacher is arrested on her school grounds in front of little children. This is what the media is forgetting to tell you. This woman who was arrested is from Colombia. She came into America illegally in 2023 under the Biden-Harris administration. In Chicago, she was given a work permit so she could work. So she was working at this elementary school. That morning, as she was driving to work, she was pulled over for a traffic violation. She did not cooperate with the officers. Instead, she fled and she drove her car right to the school, parked in the parking lot, and then went on the school grounds. So school was starting. Of course, there was a lot of children there going to school. ICE authorities arrested her on the school grounds. That is what they're forgetting to tell you. This woman also, though, she came into America illegally in 2023, and she was told, you can work as long as you don't break any laws. Well, she broke some laws. She sent for her Colombian children to come illegally into America and to join her here in America. So she brought her children in illegally, breaking the laws. Therefore, ICE had the authority to arrest this woman. That is what the media is forgetting to tell you.
Oh, that's just a slight, isn't it? Surely they did not intend to forget to tell you. You know they did. They did because they don't want you to hear the real story of what's going on. Coming up, we have an ICE agent, a sale on swimsuits available. Yep, it's the Ice Age. It is suddenly turning around. Al Gore and all the people about global warming, how bad things are going to get. The word is out now that we are facing global new Ice Age. It could change sea levels. Key Atlantic Current climate scientists, now a controversial new study. Numerous outlets reporting it at face value. This runs counter to the increasing cries of global boiling. These predictions say we're going into another ice age. Shiver my timbers. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
How are Democrats feeling overall about Schumer? We've seen a lot of comments from some House Democrats, but what about overall?
What about Democrats nationwide feeling about Chuck Schumer? I think the word of the day is terrible, 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 terrible. To quote another Charles Barkley, when it comes to Chuck Schumer, look at this: least popular Dem Senate leader ever. I looked at all of the polls going all the way back since 1985. The one who has the lowest rating among Democrats is in fact Chuck Schumer. Look at this. He's underwater with Democrats. His own party, he's underwater. He's at minus 4 points. That makes him the least popular guy for a Dem Senate leader going all the way back since the mid-1980s at least.
That's Harry Enten of CNNN saying this guy's just not that good. He's underwater. Chuck Schumer believes he has a chance to win one more election. He's got a lot of political capital at stake. Now, he's not up for election this year, but he is next year. And everything is moving to that point. This is moving, as far as Chuck is concerned, at the speed of light. He'd like to slow it down, get his feet a little bit more on the ground. But the whole party is swirling around him. They're all questioning him. He knows AOC and the other progressives, they want him out. And if they're already talking about primarying him, even though the election is not until next year, you know what that means? The money begins to dry up. Who wants to put money on a dead horse? Some of you might have in the past. Bad bet. But Chuck Schumer thinks he has the ability, the staying power, to stick around. Nancy's gone. Another elderly member of Congress is gone. Bernie Sanders may suddenly go. Not likely anytime soon, but Chuck Schumer at 73 thinks he can actually hang on. I had a commentary running the other day. I don't know if you missed it. These commentaries are good. I got to tell you. We put some good work and effort into them. Some are better than others. Some I like better than maybe you do. But on Chuck Schumer, I was talking about he's 73 years old, and he wants to run for Congress again, for Senate. 45 years in the U.S. Congress. And he thinks, my work is not done. His work would not have been done until he became president. They give you a little clue. His work is done. But he thinks he can still be of value. He is a power broker. He's the guy you see. He's the one who sat there with Nancy and held her hand facing Donald Trump. And now Nancy's gone. Probably rethreading her eyebrows. I don't know. But Chuck Schumer is standing strong, best he can. However, those around him are questioning him. And the very fact that they're questioning him and talking about primarying him a good year plus from his next election means they're already, you hear that? They're sucking up the money. He won't have any. Now, let's talk about Mondani, Mommy Mondani, who ends up winning the New York City mayoral race. He never really got Chuck Schumer's endorsement. I got to tell you, if it slipped in, it must have been over recent days while I was battling a fever. I don't remember seeing it, and it's very lukewarm. I know my temperature was warmer than the endorsement he gave him. But Mondani has Kathy Hochul beside him. That's not a match made in heaven. Kathy Hochul came late to the party. You know why? Because she realized, I need to win New York State. And Mondani is the fastest growing thing in New York, other than maybe illegal marijuana. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to hang close to him, hold on to his coattails. I'm going to help him get elected and all the things he was pushing for, free buses. She knew he couldn't do that. That had to be done by the state of New York in Albany. Mondani had no authority for that. And a lot of the other stuff he promised, he has no authority for it. But what the hell? Hang on to him and say, I'm with him. He's got a right idea. And now acknowledging, well, we might have a few differences, but we're still good. We're going to be good together. You think? Let me share a piece for you. This is from Politico. Governor Kathy Hochul, Mayor-elect Mondani, yeah, I'm calling mommy, are facing a political higher wire act again next year. One that will test whether a moderate Democrat can govern alongside a Democrat socialist as their party tears itself apart. Pitfalls are numerous for both. Hochul must manage the skepticism of the New York City business community and an unpredictable Donald Trump, who has threatened to cut federal funding to the Big Apple. Mondami, citing a mandate after defeating ex-Governor Cuomo, I've got a mandate to run everything. No, you don't. And you were campaigning on free buses? That was just going to create moving homeless shelters. All the homeless would get on the bus and just ride around, stay nice and warm and cool. One Democrat strategist said, they're going to have to be sensitive to each other's political needs every year. She's up for re-election. She needs him to recognize that, but he's made all these promises and he's got to deliver on some of them. The governor will be running for a full second term next year, so she cannot afford to alienate the moderate areas of New York, Bellwether, Long Island. Mondani is not popular. She can't write off his dual support on her left flank. He needs her to succeed politically next year and try to get some of his ideas through. The grocery stores and all that, that's not going to happen. It will not happen. But that was part of a campaign pledge and promise. I will promise you everything. You're going to get nothing. This is like wishing and hoping. Hold out your hands and wish for what you want and see which fills up faster, your hand or your toilet. The Politico article points out that Hochul has pledged to business leaders she will stop against some of his proposals, such as raising income taxes on rich New Yorkers. Well, that's what he campaigned on. So now she's endorsed him, got him elected, now says, I don't think I can touch that rail. I'm going to back away from it. Mondani, who's has zero, may I stress that, zero experience, is trying to manage a sprawling bureaucracy, employing some 300,000 people. I don't think he has 300,000 pieces of underwear. He's going to need every one of them. GOP state senator said, Hochul has allowed herself to be insecure in her own party's politics. And don't forget, Elise Stefanik is ready to launch a video to go against Mondami, against Hochul, referring to him as defund the police, tax-hiking, anti-Semitic communist. And all of that's true. So how are they going to find themselves a chance to get together? The bottom line is here, Hochul and Mondani share little in common. There's similarities. Both history-making figures in their own right. She's the first woman elected New York governor. He's the first Muslim mayor when he's sworn in. And yet, they're acid, or oil and water, if you prefer. They will not mix gently. And neither one is going to go quietly into the night. And speaking of the night, young ladies, who are all enamored with Mondani since he got a lot of support from them, how many of you would like him as your hubby? Do you think he would be a good husband? That's an unfair question, you think? I don't think so.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, ShawRealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So Mondani, or Mommy as I call him, now is going to be the next New York City mayor. And how did he get the votes? Well, he had a lot of young, influential people who didn't really understand a thing. There are probably many of them like him. They've never worked a job in their life. They think it's all gimme, gimme, gimme. And he's offering free grocery stores. He's offering free bus rides and a lot of other things that he has no control over. He cannot make it happen. And he wants to tax the wealthiest. Governor Hochul's already said, I don't think we need any more taxes like that. Well, here's his partner in crime, and she's already walking away. Oh, she was there to hang on to his coattails as he was running because she worried about, if I don't look like I'm with him, then they will turn against me. And I have a primary coming up, so I need to be ready. Now, Brooke Brangen wrote a piece for The Federalist, which is really, this is great. Because what we have seen Mondani already saying, I need to work with Trump. Trump needs to work with me. In other words, we're going to do it my way or the highway. That's what he's suggesting. The man cannot handle a candle to Donald Trump. But he's got this great, big, bright smile. And he can always go back to Zambia and his home of state and live there in riches. But he wants to be in charge of New York City, the Big Apple. And the people that gave him that charge and gave him the votes that he needed, many of them are young, disenfranchised, absolutely clueless. And in the midst of them, a lot of young women. You're talking about the charisma factor. The article is written in The Federalist by Brooke Brangenton. Let me read just the opening remarks. Young women love Zohran in part because they don't have husbands to love. Get a dog. Anyway, they don't have husbands to love. The doting devotion young women had traditionally bestowed upon their spouses and families has been redirected. Let's stop for a second. Why would that be? Why would women, young women who had parents and spouses that love them and they supposedly love, why are they turning away from them and running into the arms of the flashing Marxist communist? Because he's offered them everything. The article continues. As marriage rates have declined among young people, and that is a fact, their love and attention have been diverted to social causes. Young women are more passionate than ever about abortion, so-called social justice, and other Democrat pet projects. Everything I just listed is young women, not young men, but young women, and not all young women. Young women who are all about abortion. Riddle me this. Listen to me here. Listen. Are you listening? You want to be in favor of abortion? If your mother had been in favor of abortion, you wouldn't be here to even have this discussion, would you? You wanted to be diverted to social causes? How about helping your fellow man and woman as opposed to spitting on them, attacking Turning Point USA gatherings on campuses or trying to block them simply because they have a difference of opinion? and their other pet projects. What the hell is that? What would be their other pet projects? How to get more condom machines into the women's locker room. Okay, that's acceptable. How to get more pie into the custard. I mean, I don't know what your pet project is, but you're not focused on the reality. And they point out with the election of Zohran, their leftism now has a face and a name. They now have a new mommy, a mommy. Whereas I said the other day, they need a daddy that would take them out and hit the butt a couple of times. Mondani could not have won his race without the help of 18 to 29-year-old women. 84% of them voted for this trendy communist compared to 64% of young men who voted for him. Oh, yeah, there's stupid men out there, too. And I'm not so sure they're men. They may be born male, but they're probably posing as females. Then it adds, exit polling showed that young women also pulled Democrat candidates Mickey Sherrill and Abigail Spanberger across the lines in their gubernatorial races. They're also the ones who elected Jay Jones, Attorney General, the same guy who said, I'd like to kill one of my political enemies, two bullets in his head, and dump them in the bodies of his family. Those are the same kind of people. They're the same kind of people that cheered and were excited because Charlie Kirk got assassinated, couldn't get enough of it. Her article continues, and again, this is from The Federalist. I always try to give you this source so you can check it yourself. I never withhold information, and I always want to give them the credit and or blame because there's a thin line between credit and blame. Goes on to say, left-wing politics are predatory. You don't get any debate from me on that. Democrats make emotional arguments, yep, about empathy, equity, contrite rights, and safety, which appeal largely to a notoriously emotional demographic. In fact, Democrat leaders under the government feel a husband-like rule, making their constituents dependents of the state as they've been working for in years. Stop and think about it. These young women, I am woman, hear me roar, look where we are now. I am woman, I am meek, I'm under the man's foot, and I love being under the man's foot. Do you remember Barack Obama's Life of Julia campaign in 2012? It played on female anxieties about college, health insurance, motherhood, career. Democrats were making women feel vulnerable and presented the government as sort of a benevolent husband for every point in Julia's life. Compared to Mondani, our mommy's radical communist agenda, the Obama vision feels, in the words of the writer, tame. But it offered Democrats a playbook for targeting young women. Sure. Do you want to say they're that gullible? I like to think they're not, but they've been played so many times, I think many of them are. Conservative logic, they point out, often takes a backstage to left-wing talking points. That we know. Abortion advocates say, my body, my choice, to make young women feel empowered, while it actually strips them of agency and true femininity. Social justice warriors tell them, love is love. Diversity is strength. Silence is violence. Corporate media posts photos of crying illegal aliens facing deportation to show how cruel the American border enforcement is. And Democrats are relying on that emotional manipulation to get out the vote. Where I do not see these young women is standing in the streets of Iran, shouting, my body, my choice. I can uncover myself from head to toe. I don't see them doing that. And you know why? Because they will be executed. So here they can do all this, and they think they're doing something special, that they stand out as heroines against the world. We are brave. No, you're not. Many of these young women also crippled by student loan debt. Gen Z, according to this, has the latest annual student loan compound interest rate, 6.72%. In fact, almost half of Gen Z has student loan debt. The careers they were promised from their overpriced colleges, they're not available. Well, what would you expect? You're getting a degree that's good every third Thursday of a fifth year. That's not going to get you anything. They got lied to that they're living in a fascist, intolerant, sexist society, crushing themselves under a mountain of debt. So they're scrambling to get out from under it. And what better thing to do is turn to the smiling Mandani, the male mommy. They will come and hug you and kiss your tears away. Are you laughing over there? Jerome, you shouldn't laugh when I'm trying to be serious. Yeah, but that's exactly what it is. They add that having strong male figures is an important part of limiting that damage. And I know this for a fact. Daughters with strong relationships with their fathers are far less likely to abuse substances, have lower rates of teen pregnancy, less likely to engage in risky sexual behavior. Married women also report being happier than unmarried women and having more emergency savings and financial stability. Mandani is not going to be the last communist coming from the ashes of the Democrat Party. And it concludes this article by saying, if feminism is not exposed as a toxic, festering injury, it will permanently poison young women. It's already doing it. Doing it in ways that they can't see. Doing it in ways they don't know how to fight back. Women, you need to take control of your own future. America, we need to do the same. And we have a warning to that effect from retired General Flynn.
This is bigger than Donald Trump. This is bigger than where we are right now. This is about the future of the United States of America and whether or not we are going to have a legitimate constitutional republic in the years ahead, well past Donald Trump, right? I mean, whoever ends up being in 2028 or 2032 or beyond, whether or not we get another 50 years out of our republic, never mind another 250 years. So this is bigger. And the United States of America and the people in our country, particularly those duly elected leaders, I mean, I just had two more people get a hold of me today that are running against these rhino establishment people in different states, you know, one for Congress, one for Senate. And they're and in both cases, they're veterans, which I love. I love the fact that we have veterans starting to stand up to get back involved in service to the country in a political way.
I am, too. I do know I had a fear for many years that we had many members of Congress who had never worn a uniform. Recent wars have changed that. That doesn't necessarily mean they're all going to be correct, but at least they know and understand the value of valor and courage. What did you learn this hour you didn't know when we started? And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.